April 30th, 2020. After 6 weeks in quarantine, the federal government has ended its stay-at-home guidance, but many governors, including those of Vermont and New Hampshire, say it's still too soon to open. This week, the CDC added sore throat, headache, chills, and loss of taste and smell to the plethora of symptoms one could have if infected with COVID-19. This leaves many wondering how many cases went undetected early on. On the upside, results from a drug trial are showing that the drug remdesivir might speed up coronavirus recovery and help reduce the death toll. 1,033,157 COVID cases in the United States, 55,225 COVID deaths.
This is how we walk on the moon. This is how we walk on the moon.
Hi, I'm Eric Love. Welcome to Portraits of the Pandemic, Week 6. How are you?
I feel so medium. I'm so plain, it's extraordinary. I've reached a plateau. I've been set in neutral. I'm in purgatory.
If I were to Google search, when will COVID be over? It would say, no results containing all your search items were found.
I've been crying over silly things, sometimes a movie or food or just randomly. Then I laugh at myself for crying, and then I sit there, smiling and laughing with tears streaming down my face.
I have been much busier this week, and I've become so used to being bored that I've forgotten how to deal with having an abundance of work.
I've started meditating in the morning, and actually, it is really helping me. I've also started coloring in advanced coloring books.
The apathetic, lazy feeling has dissolved. I'm just going with the flow again, doing my thing.
I never thought I'd be so ready to go back to working at Starbucks.
Today I listened to the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying in hopes of getting tips on how to finish high school with all A's and not put in a lot of effort. Unfortunately, they don't tell you how to do that.
This book is all that I need.
I know you all have a lot of schoolwork, and with everyone home all day, it can be harder than ever to get work done. We've all needed to find our own little corner of the house to be alone. Describe your quarantine corner.
My quarantine corner is a cozy little couch full of hygge and productivity. The objects that are always there include my cat bed, my blanket, which has become a second cat bed, my other blanket, my computer, my phone, the book that I pretend to read, two cats, and an Eli.
The old pasture pine tree, over 100 years old, standing strong in a large softwood forest, comforts me with its spindly branches zigzagging up into the crisp spring air. The rough bark scratches my hands as I climb higher and higher until I can see over the tips of the tallest hemlocks to my big red barn. As long as I want, whenever I want, it is there for me to relax in.
Tucked away, on the right side of my room lies a table stacked with books and papers. A cup of black tea with honey on my right, my school binder on my left, my new computer in front of me with its screen lit up. A big window greets me as I look straight out into the forest. My special sketchbook waiting for when I am done so I can dive in to draw.
In the very back of my room is my quarantine corner. Against the walls is a bowl-shaped chair and a soft blue cushion that envelops me. Bright rays of sunlight stream in from the window. I immediately feel at ease. A vanity stool serves as a table, and the guitars hanging on the surrounding walls echo and vibrate when I talk. It's a hum that most would find eerie, but I find soothing. I take out my phone and click shuffle on my 8-hour classic rock playlist.
My room is my sanctuary, each spot a little bit of who I am. My music corner, covered with posters and pictures from shows. My microphone and recording equipment sit, ready to be used when inspiration hits. My desk is surrounded by my two beds and is very cozy. Colored lamps and fairy lights create a calming ambiance. Pictures of all my loved ones are hung up on the walls. Pictures where my friends and I aren't 6 feet apart. On my bed sit my stuffed animals, who I have recently introduced from the depths of my closet to comfort me. A squid, a unicorn, a dragon, a horse, and of course, my giant orca. My other bed is by my open window. I sleep in that bed and let the cool breeze whisper over my face and lull me to sleep. Sometimes, when thoughts become too intrusive and sleep isn't an option, I find it comforting to look up at the moon and the stars. They haven't changed since quarantine. They might be the only thing that hasn't.
Here are some stories from the week.
Sometimes we can't give 100% every day. For instance, I'm not wearing pants. Wait, that sounded weird. I'm wearing pants. Just regular pants. Let me start over. Today, I knew I would have to use my camera for my morning Zoom class, so I just threw a shirt on and combed my hair half-heartedly. Then I made sure that the camera couldn't see my pajama pants. And that's okay. You don't have to get fully dressed every day anymore. So embrace the 50%.
In a few days, we are expecting baby bunnies. When they are first born, they don't look beautiful. But after a few days, they grow fuzz and are ready to open their eyes. Knowing you are the first thing these young creatures see is an incredible feeling. They fit in your hands and seem to have no understanding of the world. It is beyond adorable. Being a bunny farmer is my pride and joy.
I'm on family overload. This is week 6 of quarantine, and we're still sticking with family bonding every night. We're a family who loves board games, but we've run out. We have an entire closet filled with games, but we're stuck in a loop playing our favorites. I need a new game.
Tonight, I got into a huge fight with my mom. It hit me that when I am alone in my room after an argument, the only thing I can do is hug my pillow. My dad passed away of a heart attack when I was 7, and I really miss him. My mom and my brother have a great relationship, and my dad and I did. When I'm in my room after a fight, I don't get a bear hug of support from my loving, amazing, funny dad. I don't get crazy dad jokes. I don't even get a pat on the shoulder to hand me a tissue. All I get is my pillow.
Days where getting out of bed is a task on its own. A bowl of cereal is the most challenging meal to make. Then there are days where my mind wakes up sick and tired of laziness and ready to get stuff done. Avocado toast, a breakfast sandwich, or an Instagram-worthy parfait, that is how I start my day. I just try to remind myself on these duller days that it's okay to only eat cereal.
Talking about breakfast makes me hungry. People have been using this time to expand their culinary horizons. Tell me about your favorite quarantine cuisine.
Peanut butter grilled cheese. wonderful cheddar cheesy peanut buttery combination with a nice crunch. If you make it right, it will drip everywhere.
Mac and cheese. Is it from a box? Yes. Do I make it in a special way that once you taste it, you will become enlightened? Also, yes.
My diet has consisted solely of hot Cheetos and carrot cake. They say you are what you eat, so I guess I'm just an orange blob.
Our millet, lentil, and ground beef bowls. We live on a beef farm, but I have a vegetarian sister, so oddly enough, we don't eat much beef.
Firecracker tofu. I breaded them, fried them, then baked them in the oven, and served them with a special spicy sauce.
Nowadays, Dad combines ingredients with care, unlike his usual sloppy but effective whatever's in the fridge technique. Asparagus and hollandaise, vegetarian lasagna, pasta primavera, quiche, homemade sourdough. Food is suddenly impossibly scrumptious.
Sausage balls. Spiced sausage wrapped in dough. They are so damn delicious, it's intense.
My mom taught me how to make sushi in quarantine. Cutting that sticky, seasoned rice while fanning it, OMG, I felt so bougie.
Lamb kofta that is so tender and juicy, with the freshness of tzatziki and the crunch of falafel, all wrapped in a warm, soft, homemade pita. Mediterranean cuisine evokes feelings of being somewhere far away.
I love making mug muffins. I made regular, chocolate, vanilla, pancake, strawberry, blueberry, and so much more.
My 9-year-old sister Paige and I baked a cake on Sunday. After we put it in the oven, my mom and I sampled the leftover crumb topping, and it was like eating straight salt. We asked Paige how much salt she put in, and she said she put in a teaspoon, while pointing to the tablespoon. Now there's a disgusting cake that is just sitting uneaten in our kitchen.
My mom's dump cake, like a type of pie, but with cherries and pineapples and sugary goodness.
Macarons. The French meringue-based cookie, to be clear, not macaroons. I feel like a chef in a fancy French bakery when I make them.
Vanilla bean ice cream with hot fudge and whipped cream, all of which are homemade.
When we finally found yeast, I decided that my first bake would be marzipan and brown sugar sticky buns topped with pecans. I'm just sorry no one was here to eat them with me.
I feel for you, Olivia. It's hard not to be able to share meals with loved ones. When I'm feeling lonely, I find it helpful to focus on gratitude. What are you grateful for?
I'm beyond grateful for the people on the front lines in hospitals, nursing homes, and all essential workers.
I'm grateful for modern technology. We are so lucky that this is happening at a time when we are able to see and hear each other from miles away.
I'm grateful that quarantine is reconnecting me with creativity. I have more time for music, more time for writing, and I've started drawing.
I am so grateful for my friends. Laughing with them is the best part of my day. It's one of the only things that still feels normal.
I am grateful for my family. I bought my prom dress in December and never got to wear it. So, my older sister and I hosted our own prom with dancing, photos, and gambling with M&Ms.
I am beyond grateful for my sisters who have put up with me for over a month.
I'm grateful that my mom is able to keep her job. As much as I wish she was home, I understand that she's supporting me in a different way.
I'm grateful for the environment I live in. I worry for my classmates with a tough home life. The ones I know were eating school lunch as their one meal for the day. The ones who would come to school with the same clothes as yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. The ones who always have headphones in because they are used to having to drown out the noise in their homes. these kids need real school the most because it's an escape.
I am grateful to have toilet paper and my family and light and electricity and a window to see the world I'm missing. I am grateful for our bunnies. I am grateful for Bitmoji so I can see which outfit and hairstyle look best on me. I am grateful for s'mores and constellations and late night fire pits. I am grateful for online shopping websites. I am grateful for my love of drawing. And I am grateful for the infinite multiverses. I like to imagine a universe where coronavirus never tore everyone apart.
I'm grateful for quarantine. It has taught me that sometimes you need the absence of something to feel its presence. As much as it hurts now, when the world is set right and we return to living instead of surviving, I'll be happier than before. For I will have felt the void where happiness once was, and know to cherish what I thought would never leave.
Would you believe me now if I told you I got caught up in a way? Almost gave it away. Would you hear me out if I told you I was terrified for days? That I was gonna break. Oh, I couldn't stop it, tried to slow it all down. Crying in the bathroom.
Portraits of the Pandemic is a Northern Stage production. For more information and to meet the cast, visit us at northernstage.org. See you next week.